Well, if you brought your Bibles tonight, go ahead and turn in them with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. We are continuing our study in Romans chapter 8, titled In Christ. And tonight, we are going to start reading in verse 21 and kind of just recap what we already talked about. And then in verse 35, it goes. We'll pick up there. We'll go ahead and pick up there. All right. So did I say 21 or 31? All right, I meant 31. All right, Romans 8:31. Here's what the Bible says. It says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. In verse 35, here we go. Who shall separate us from the love of God, or from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? The answer is no. As it is written, for your sake, God, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen in the house tonight? Tonight, number one, in Christ, we are loved. In Christ, we are loved. Now, I got to ask you a question real quick, and I just got to tell you, and please understand, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with these things, all right? But how many of you in the house tonight like the Twilight Saga? I got a couple of. How many of you have already seen Eclipse? Wow. Me and my wife just recently had dinner, and we at Chipotle, and then we drove by Krikorian, and man, the line for Eclipse was around the building, up Eureka, and then like a half a block or a block up Redlands Boulevard. I was like, oh my gosh, what is going on? But I just got to tell you tonight, if you like movies like The Twilight Saga, if you like movies like The Notebook, how many Notebook fans do I have in the house? The same hands. If you like movies like Pride and Prejudice, or if you like movies like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, I can raise my hand to that one. Then listen, I got to tell you tonight, there has never been and there will never be a love that compares to the love of God. Can I get an amen in the house? Of all the films made, of all the movies shown, of all the poems and all the stories written, there will never be. And there has never been and there will never be a love that compares to the love of God. A man once wrote and said, I like it so much, he said, no means of measure can define his limitless love. In other words, there's nothing that we have on earth that we can measure God's love with to try and define it, to try to and depict it. We can't measure God's love with inches, we can't measure God's love with feet, we can't measure God's love with yards or miles or quarts or gallons. Can't measure God's love with degrees. He said, no means of measure could ever define God's limitless love. It's just that. It's a limitless love. Praise God. And then you don't have to turn there, but if you go and you look in Ephesians chapter 3, for this very reason, Paul is praying for the church of Ephesus, and he says, he's talking to the church of Ephesus, and he says, when I pray for you, I pray like this, that you would come to know the love of God. What is the width? What is the depth? What is the height? What is the length of the love of God? By experience. Why? Because, again, there's nothing that we have here on earth that can quite contain the love of God. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So if you're going to know anything about God, if you're going to grow in the things of God, if you're going to learn who he is, you've got to know something about love. And so Paul here in Ephesians chapter 3 is saying that you would come to know what is the width and length and height and depth of God's love. And so I just want to say again, there has never been and there will never be a love that quite compares to the love of God. Tonight, you know, when people think about love, Maybe they, when they think about one of the characteristics of love, maybe they think, well, love is thoughtful. Love is thoughtful. You know, there's that cheesy pickup line everybody knows. I'm sure they know it. You know, you go up to some girl and you're like, hey, what's up, girl? Are you tired? No, why? Because you've been running through my mind all day long. So maybe to some, maybe one of the characteristics of love could be thoughtfulness. Well, I just got to let you know tonight that there's never been a love so thoughtful as the love of God. There's never been a love so thoughtful. There's never, like I said earlier, I just got to repeat myself. There's never been a love, and there will never be a love that could ever compare to the love of God. There's never been a love so thoughtful. The Bible says that the thoughts that God thinks towards you outnumber the sands of the earth. Take a moment with me, if you will, and just picture all the sands of the beach. All the sands that fill the ocean floor. The sands that cover the desert. All the sand on every golf course. All the sand on every volleyball court. The thoughts that God thinks toward you outnumber the sands of the sea, the Bible says. There's never been a love so thoughtful. There's another verse that says that these thoughts that God thinks towards you are thoughts of good and not of evil. Plans to give you a future and to give you a hope. The Bible says that God knew you even before you were made. He knew you while you were in your mother's womb. The Bible even goes as far as to say God knows what you have need of even before you ask. Tonight, there's never been a love so thoughtful as the love of God. Tonight, there's never been a love so considerate as the love of God. What is the width and length and height and depth? There's never been a love so considerate as the love of God. Today, we live in a day and time where the world is inconsiderate. Inconsiderate of one another. They're self-seeking, selfish. People can't even consider somebody enough to say thank you when somebody holds the door open for them. People are not even considered enough of one another to, you know, maybe you're on the freeway and the guy's got the blinker on and he's got to get over and you're about to run him off the road. Not you, but but people don't. They're inconsiderate. But thank God, in a world that's inconsiderate, we have a God that has considered us. I love what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 8 and verse 4. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man that you visit him." Tonight, there's never been a love so considerate as the love of God. Tonight, there has never been a love so giving as the love of God. Are you in the house tonight? Never been a love so giving as the love of God. After all, what would consideration be if consideration was just consideration and it didn't do anything? What do I mean by that? Well, let's take the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, there's a man traveling, and he got beat up by some robbers, robbed and left for dead. The Bible says that two other men passed by and considered him, but they didn't do anything. Are you following me? Are you with me so far? But then the Good Samaritan came, and not only did he consider, but the Bible says that he was moved with compassion. He went and he helped the man. He bandaged up his wounds. He paid money. He took him to a hotel, gave them money, and said, "Please make sure that this guy is taken care of." So after all, what would consideration be without action? The Bible tells us in 1 John, it says, not to love in word or in tongue only, but to love in deed and in truth. There's never been a love so giving as the love of God. I like what King David says in Psalms 103. He says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits." And then the Bible comes along in the Amplified, the next verse, and he says, "Who forgives each and every one of all of your iniquities. Who heals each and every one of all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Do I have anybody in the house who can testify and say there's never been a love so giving as the love of God? There's another verse I like so much that says that the mercy of God toward us is new every morning, and great is his faithfulness toward us. Never been a love so giving. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was crucified even before the foundation of the earth. What does that mean? It means that God, before he did anything, before a day ever passed here on earth, God knew what it was going to take. He knew it was going to cost him his son, and yet he went ahead and he made earth and he made you and me and decided before anything was done that Christ would be crucified. Never been a love so giving as the love of God. And then the New Testament comes along in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Everybody's familiar with it. Just to describe this giving love a little bit further. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe upon him should not perish but have everlasting life." Tonight, there's never been a love so giving. Tonight, there's never been a love so thoughtful, so considerate. Of all the stories written, never been a love. And then we're here in Romans chapter 8, and our text says, and you know, as we were talking about earlier, Paul is praying for the Ephesian church, and he said that they would come to know what is the width and length and height and depth of God's love. In other words, there's different aspects, there's different degrees of God's love. And so he brings out this aspect of God's love. And we just talked about how God's love is wonderful, how it's great and amazing. But he brings out this aspect and he says, nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Not only is God's love amazing, not only is it awesome, not only is it incomparable, but nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Over and over he says, not tribulation, not distress, not persecution, not famine, not nakedness, not peril or sword. He says, not death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing could ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I like to say it like this. God's love is a boundless love. Amen? God's love is a boundless love. You can't box it in. You can't fence it out. You can't confine it. You can't restrain it. You can't restrict it. All right? God's love is a boundless love. God's love is not bound or based on, as some men and women sometimes base their love on, looks. God's love is not bound to the structure of your face or the shape of your body. I don't care what the magazines say about how you look tonight. God is in love with you. Amen? God's love is a boundless love. God's love is not based on it and pays no regard to your popularity measurement. Let me say that again, to your popularity measurement. The Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. God's love for you is not based on fortune or fame. God's love for you remains the same. It's not bound to these material things. I like it so much. Jesus says in John chapter 17 and verse 23 about the love of God, he's actually praying for you and I in John chapter 17 verse 23. And he says, oh God, that they would know that you have loved me, love them even as you have loved me. Tonight, young adults, if there's ever been somebody worthy of God's love, it was Jesus. Tonight, if there's anybody that we should say that God loves this person, it was Jesus. And yet Jesus comes along and he says, oh God, that they would know that you have loved them even as you have loved me. God's love is no respecter of persons. God's love is not based on your popularity, your fortune, or your fame. Tonight, God's love is not based on your nationality. It's not based on your ethnicity. Tonight, God's love is not based on your social status. Tonight, God's love is a boundless love. God's love is greater in value and in meaning. God's love is more weighty and more real than the fading and the minuscule and the small material things of this life. Can I get an amen? Nothing can separate you from this love. I gotta say, I don't care how horrific your experience, how brutal your circumstance, how hurtful the issue, how unspeakable the incident, God's love can heal and mend and restore and transform your heart. The Bible says that God heals the brokenhearted and binds up all their wounds. And I can't help but believe it's because of his love. It's his love tonight. God's love is a love that changes lives. God's love is a love that redeems and rescues the soul. There's nothing that God's love can't do. No place that it can't reach tonight. So wherever you're at, God's love is for you. The Bible says in 1 John, it says that God's love is a perfect love and that it casts out all fear. Tonight, this love is a boundless love. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. I can't stop there. I just have to say God's love is patient toward you. God's love is kind. God's love is not envious of you or me. God's love is not stuck up or proud. This love does not seek its own. It's not selfish. God's love is not resentful toward you. God's love is hospitable toward you. God's love thinks no evil of you, and it does not rejoice in your failure, in your mistake, in your iniquity, but it rejoices in the truth. God's love bears all things. God's love believes all things. God's love hopes all things, and God's love endures all things concerning you. God's love never fails. Amen. Tonight, God's love does not run out. Tonight, God's love does not run dry. It was here before the foundation of the earth, and it will be here when the earth is gone. God's love will never forsake you. God's love will never neglect you. A man wrote a song, an old song that I like, and he says, when your youthful days are gone and old age is stealing on and your body begins to bend beneath the weight of care, God will never leave you then. He'll go with you all the way to the end. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Why? Because he loves you. There's another song, and it's an old song, and please bear with me in my old songs tonight. There's a song that a man wrote, and I love the words. It says, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the sky of parchment made? Were everything on earth a quill or a pen, basically, and every scribe a man by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole of God's love, though it be stretched from sky to sky. Are you with me tonight? God's love is an awesome, boundless love. God's love paid the highest price for you and I. We already talked about it tonight. John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave. Jesus, out of love, left the glory of heaven, left the goodness of heaven, left the comfort of heaven, and came down. Another old song says he stooped to woo, to win, and to save our soul. Why? Because he loved you and I. He left the glory of heaven. I think that you would agree with me tonight and say, you know, there's nothing that we could do to get the president to show up at our house, right? There's nothing that we could do, you or I could do, to get a king or a queen to invite us into their palace. But praise God, the maker of heaven and earth, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, left heaven above and came down here and entered into a dark world, a world filled with sin, out of love, to save and redeem you and I. You've got your Bibles there in front of you. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 goes Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start reading in verse 5. Jesus left heaven above and came down out of love to win and to save our soul. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. So again, Jesus left heaven above out of love and came down for you and I. God's love did not retreat at the sight of a bloody, gory cross. God's love did not give up when it was whipped to a bloody pulp. God's love didn't throw in the towel when they mocked him and they spit upon him. God's love for you and me went all the way. If you'll turn with me, you're already there in Romans chapter 8. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And I just want you to see yet another aspect of God's love here. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, the Bible is going to contrast for us the love of God versus the love that men have. And I just think it's so good. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6, it says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now, pay close attention. Watch what it says. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we weren't a righteous man, as it said, as men would maybe scarcely die for. We weren't a good person as somebody might even dare to die for. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That God demonstrates his own love in that Christ died for us. When we were lost in sin, when we didn't care where we were headed, there's those of us who are so stupid to say, you know, I don't care if I'm going to hell. In fact, we're going to have a big party in hell. I know there's some other people in the house that have thought that. But the Bible says that when we wanted nothing to do with God, that God demonstrates his own love in that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Isn't that good? If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 5, Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 5, the Bible describes this a little bit further, this idea. Ephesians chapter 2. I'm sorry, did I say verse 5? I meant verses 1 through 5. It says, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So again, even when we were lost and dead, when we were doing our own thing, when we didn't care, God demonstrates his own love in that he comes and he dies for us who were sinners. Praise God, like we talked about last week, we're no longer sinners, but we're saved by grace. Now we're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, if you got something out of the Word of God tonight, go ahead and give him a great big praise.